Ephesians 5. We'll be in verses 20 through to 24 this morning. The title of the message is Wives Walk in Submission. We'll be talking over the next many weeks about various different groups, different people as they're expected, their different roles of submission. I know it's maybe a little bit inconvenient this morning that this was dinner on the grounds in the week that I'm supposed to be preaching to wives because they're all downstairs, but they should be able to hear me. Maybe I'll get a little closer to the mic so that that radio can pick them up. If you're down there, you need to be listening this morning. So I apologize for those that might have to step out, but there is audio down there and you should be able to pick up on it. But we will be preaching particularly to the wives this morning and to those who would desire in the future to be wives. Next week we'll be talking to the husbands, and we're just going to follow the structure as Ephesians chapter 5 lays it out, talking about each group and the submission that they are intended to have within the home, which is a reflection of the submission within the church, and that's what we'll be talking about. You know, when my wife and I lived in Florida, we worked at Pensacola Christian College, and she and I particularly worked on a rock wall. Now, the college being what it is, it's a college campus, it's an educational environment, they wanted to offer a rock climbing class. However, because my wife was on staff and not faculty, they were looking for someone on faculty to teach this class. I was her assistant, I was a graduate assistant, so I was not going to be the one to actually be able to teach the physical education class either. They needed to find someone else. Well, the problem is, none of the other physical education teachers had ever rock climbed before. And so there was a situation where they needed to choose one of these physical education teachers to teach a rock climbing class that they had very little experience in. Well, the gentleman that they picked is a very athletic guy, but his physical makeup was more for conventional sports. Many of you, I don't know if many of you have ever done extreme sports such as rock climbing and such, but there's a different different physique that you develop when you're doing vertical sports as opposed to when you're doing horizontal sports. And he was a very horizontal sported physique. He could play football, he could play baseball, he could do those sorts of things, but he wasn't really made up to go up. He was made up to go forward very fast, very strong. Up was not as good for him. But that he was the teacher, he was the one, he was the man, he was in charge. So the school charged my wife and I with the task of teaching him how to climb, safety, technique, all of those sorts of things. Well, to the best of our ability, in the short time we had with him, we did so. We taught him. We made sure, in particular, that he understood all of the safety. We made sure that he recognized what was right, what was wrong, that he could pick out when somebody tied a knot wrong so that they didn't get halfway up the wall and the knot slip out and they fall to their death or anything like that. We were careful to make sure that the safety part was taken care of. But we also told him how to climb. See, he needed to be able to have enough skill, knowledge, to be able to teach others how to do what he needed to be able to do. And so we did that as well. Now, he was not at the time, I don't know how he is these years later, but at the time he was not all that good of a climber, but he knew how to climb. We got him to that point where he was capable of at least instructing others in the way. Well, they also put me in that class as an assistant. He had two assistants in the class. They put me in the class, so I was able to be there as a more skilled and knowledgeable rock climber for him. So here was the situation as it laid out as this class began. The teacher of this rock climbing class was a very inexperienced climber who only had a basic knowledge of rock climbing and who had only been doing it for maybe 2 or 3 months. While the assistant in the class was a fairly experienced climber with much greater knowledge of rock climbing and much better ability to do so. So what did I do as the assistant in that class? You say, well, Pastor, I know what you did. You basically took over, right? You were constantly correcting him. You were constantly telling the teacher what to do. You were being sure that everyone knew that I was really the one that knew what I was doing, that I was really the one that had the experience and not him, right? That's what you did. Wrong. That's not what I did. What did I do? I did what I was told to do. I assisted him in the class. I answered questions when asked. I helped him when he asked me to help him. I did everything in my power to reflect my skill and my knowledge upon him. I did everything in my power to make sure that the students in that class saw their teacher as one that would be capable of teaching them. I did everything in my power to support him and to ensure that people thought good of him because he was the teacher and I was the assistant. And why would I do this? Because that teacher had delegated authority over me. That teacher, by the school, the administration, had been given the authority over the class and had given him authority over me and had given me the responsibility then of assisting him in the class, not berating him, not correcting him, not constantly telling everyone who interacted with him that really I was a better climber anyway, that really I knew what I was doing better than him anyway, that really I was the one that taught him anyway. No. I assisted him because, not because he was the better climber, but because that was my responsibility. Because he had been given the authority and I had been given an expectation of submission by my higher authority. What if that same teacher had told me in the class not to worry about the students being properly tied in? Let's say that. So he'd been given this delegated authority over me, but if I walked into class one day and he said, you know what, I'm just going to let all the students climb without ropes. Climb to the top and then they'll have to climb back down. We're not going to worry about ropes today. Well, at that point, I would have a problem, wouldn't I? Because my highest authority, the administration, would not want students dying on the rock wall. And so at that point, my responsibility would be to my highest authority, not to my immediate authority. And I would say, no, they may not do that. And I would do everything in my power to make sure that those students would not be climbing without ropes. And so though this teacher had authority over me, delegated authority over me, his authority only went as far as the administration gave it to him. When he surpassed his delegated authority, then I was no longer under that authority. I give you that whole scenario because today we're talking about the submission of the wife in the home, the submission of the wife in the family. And by the end of this sermon, I trust that you will be able to make some parallels to what I just told you to the role which God has given the wife in the home. The concept is that of submission. It's a biblical concept that we're going to explore today. We talked briefly about submission a couple of weeks ago. We're going to be fleshing out the idea of submission. In today's message in particular, we'll have a little bit of extra what is submission as a whole so that we can be moving forward from week to week on this concept of submission. So if you're following along with me this morning, we're going to look at two principles of the wife's expected submission unto her husband through Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. If you have your Bibles, please look at it with me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The first point we're going to see this morning of these two principles is, number one, a wife's submission to her husband demonstrates her submission to God. A wife's submission to her husband demonstrates her submission to God. Let's talk for a little bit about the idea of submission. What is submission? It's important that we understand this. So let's talk about what submission is. Well, if we look in our Bibles, we see the word there, wives, submit yourselves. The word submit there in the Greek is a word that could literally be translated to arrange oneself under. It's the word hupotasso, to arrange oneself under. It's actually made up of two words, as I just said, hupa, which means beneath. That's a preposition in the Greek, which means beneath or under. And then the second one being tasso, which literally means to arrange in a fashion. Quite literally, to arrange under. So when the scriptures speak of submission, when you see that word submit and the word behind it is this word, hupotasso, we are not speaking of concepts of dominance and weakness. We're not talking about concepts of skill and value versus no value or unskillful. We are talking about designated leadership and designated obedience. We are talking about subjection. We're talking about, as when we talked about in our Tuesday night series on the women's role in the church, it would be as if the coach of a football team or a officer in the military. The coach of a football team does not necessarily know everything about football. He may not even be the most knowledgeable person on the field, but the players have to listen to him because he's the coach. They are under his authority. They have been submitted to him. He is elevated to that position. In the military, the officers aren't always the ones that know what's going on, are they? They're not always the ones that are the most capable. Yet they are the ones that have been given the delegated authority. Therefore, the soldiers arrange themselves under the officer and obey him because they have been placed in under his authority. The theological concept of submission to authority in this regard is called headship. It's called headship, and it is one that we will often reference with the idea of leadership and submission. That submission is not an idea of weakness, it is the concept of headship, of designated, delegated authority and designated obedience. Verse 23 helps us understand this idea of submission a little bit more. See, because the wife is expected to submit to her husband in the same way that the church is expected to submit to Christ. If the church's actions towards Christ are considered to be submission, then what is it that we can draw from that reality that helps us understand what submission is supposed to mean? Well, the church is expected to submit to obey Christ in all things, correct? It is expected to conform itself to the mind of Christ. It is expected to reflect Christ in its actions. See, submission is complete obedience to the authority of the one under whom we submit. Christ's authority over the church is not divided, is it? Christ's authority of the church is not compartmentalized. Christ has supreme authority over the church because it is his church. Because the very definition of a church is one who is subjected to Christ's authority. Does the church then have the discretion of picking and choosing what parts of Christ's commands they follow? No. Do many churches pick and choose what parts of Christ's commands they follow? Yes. But they do not have the authority to do so. God has not given them the right in his word to pick and choose the commands that they obey of Christ's. They are to reflect Christ's commands implicitly and completely. Now, the same reality is found in any idea of submission. It is an obedience to authority. Now, there's one notable difference between the church and Christ and any other aspect of submission in our lives. And that notable difference is sin. When we are, as a church, submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not have to have discretion in our submission because we know that Jesus Christ is truth. He is righteousness. He is light. He is perfection. When we submit ourselves to another human being, we must recognize that we are submitting ourselves to a fallible, sinful human being. Wives, when you submit yourselves to your husbands, you recognize that you are submitting yourself to a fallible, sinful husband. Not sinful in that term of describing his life. Doesn't mean that he is constantly living out sin in his life, but what it means is we have a sin nature, do we not? And you are expected to submit yourself to one who as well is combating the flesh, who as well is fighting the wiles of Satan, is fighting temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So submission defined. Let's define submission this way. Submission is that act whereby we willingly place ourselves under the authority of another to the extent that that person has rightful authority. So it is willingly placing ourselves under the authority of the other to the extent that they have been given that authority. Jesus Christ has final authority over the church, therefore the church obeys him in all things. The husband, however, has limited authority. Therefore, the wife should submit to him to the degree to which the husband's authority is given. Where is that line drawn? At our higher authority, that is God. The wife is expected to submit to her husband in all things, as we see in the scriptures, to the degree that that thing does not contradict the command of God. That's where that line is drawn. She submits herself to the degree that the husband does not contradict God's authority, Christ, in her life. So wives, that means you're expected to place yourself under the authority of the husband to the degree that God has given him authority over you. The wife is not biblically obligated to sin against God because her husband wants her to. She is not biblically obligated to submit to a husband's sinful actions toward her, such as abuse or enslavement, but she is expected to submit herself to the husband to the degree to which her husband is not contradicting the commands of God in her life. Now we'll address these points more next week, those negative points, as we speak to the husband's responsibility of submission, which is love. And we'll talk about that more next week. But we're going to move on. Let's look back into the scriptures. We see that it is a command to wives to submit yourselves. Notice who they are intended to submit themselves to. It says, unto your own husbands. Unto your own husbands. Paul makes it very clear that this passage is limited in its scope in teaching regarding headship. It's speaking only in terms of the biblical family, and a woman's submission is only extended to her husband in this particular passage. Now, what does that mean? That means as far as Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 goes, this verse cannot be used to assert that a woman must be subject to every man, must be submissive to every man, but only to the man with which she has entered into this covenant relationship of marriage. This verse cannot, according to the context and intent of this particular passage, be a statement regarding the woman's role in church or society, but only in her role as a wife in the home and as an extension as a mother with her family. So let's be careful. Now, there are other passages, and we'll look at them in a moment, that will extend various ideas of submission. But this particular passage, as we look at it, is only intended to reflect a woman's role in the family with her husband. However, as I just mentioned, as one studies the entire body of truth concerning God's word, concerning submission, concerning a woman's role with headship, one quickly finds that female submission does in fact extend beyond the family and into every God-ordained institution, be it church or society. That reasoning being, because every God-ordained institution, be it government, be it church, as we go into the family, really is a reflection of multiple families. Just as the church is made up of individuals, then of families, but also many individuals who aren't families, so too other institutions, be it societal institutions, such as government or such, are made up of individuals and families. God has not parsed any God-ordained institution from the family, be it government, be it church. So in other words, the marriage union between a man and a woman, and by extension the family that is created through that union, is a foundational component of headship in every God-ordained institution. In every God-ordained institution, the family is a vital component. That's why as we see the family begin to deteriorate today, we're seeing society as a whole begin to deteriorate. Because God has not separated the family unit from the church, nor has he separated the family unit from civil society. And as the family unit is stripped out of church, and as the family unit is stripped out of society, those other God-ordained institutions begin to waver, begin to falter, because the foundation of family has been left largely out of the picture. So wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands is the command. women, as we're talking today, as we're talking about submission, we are speaking about you to your husband. And notice the next phrase, as unto the Lord. As I already mentioned, biblical submission has nothing to do with worthiness or even capability. In a wife's mind, her submission to her husband should not hinge upon his actions, his worthiness, or even his response to that submission. This is very difficult. It's very difficult to submit to someone whose actions don't reflect a worthiness of submission. It's very difficult to submit to someone who doesn't respond properly to that submission. And yet the command is not, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands because he's worth it, because he's worthy of it, because he does things that reflect a worth of submission, because it's easy. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Here's the statement. Here's the reality. Wives, when you biblically submit yourself to your husband, you are in fact submitting yourselves properly to God as well. Your submission to your husband is a reflection of submission to God. Now you can take, and we're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, this is the same thing with children to their parents. This is the same thing, the exact same reflection. When you, children, submit yourselves properly to your parents, you are properly submitting yourselves to God. Now, wives, we'll stick with you this morning. I just want to remind people that we do go beyond this here. When you do not submit yourself properly, let's talk about the opposite here. When you do not properly submit yourself to your husband as God's delegated authority over you, what's the scripture say? You are not submitting as unto the Lord. You are not submitting to God. You are not reflecting proper submission to God if you are not reflecting proper submission to your husband. So wives, what we need to understand this morning is that submission has nothing to do with your husband, or as we look at other principles of submission, your pastor or men in general as being better than you. It has nothing to do with them being higher in value than you. It has nothing to do with men keeping their thumb on women. This has nothing to do with male chauvinism. This has nothing to do with women being degraded in the eyes of men. Look at church history. Women were treated as slaves before Christianity came along. Christianity did more to liberate women in the eyes of men, to lift them up, than anything else in history. To bring them to the level of humanity and not animal or slave or possession. It's a bit of an aside. But what the scripture is not saying here, and what I am not saying this morning, and what you must not infer from the idea of biblical headship and submission, is that the scriptures are saying that women are inferior in any way, or weaker, or anything. What the scriptures are saying is that God has ordained women and placed them in a certain place in the home. God has given men the authority, the husband the authority, and has given the wife the responsibility of submission. Just like being a soldier in the infantry does not mean that you are less capable than the sergeant that's above you. All it means is he's been given the authority and you have not. Wives, this does not mean that you're less capable. This does not mean that you are less worthy. In fact, the scriptures say you have more worth. 1 Peter 3. What it is saying is you have been designated, delegated by God to be under the headship of your husbands. That's what the scriptures are teaching. But once again, may I remind you, husbands, this only goes as far as you are not asking your wife to do something that contradicts the commands of God. And once again, that puts up that added level of protection for the wife, whereby she does not necessarily have to submit herself to a husband that is acting in a way that is contrary to God's commands. So with that said, let's take a look at the entire body of truth concerning female submission in order that we can understand better where Ephesians 5:22-24 fits into this picture. I'm just going to give you references. I'm going to give you the principle and the reference. If you want to take these references so you can study it a bit more later, that's fine. Those of you that were here on that Tuesday night, most of these references will have been covered there. Biblical submission applies to women in the role in the home. We see this clearly in Ephesians 5:22-24. We also see from 1 Corinthians 14:34 that biblical submission applies to a woman's role in the church. That she has a role as she has a submissive role in the church. Female submission is a statement of designated headship. It is not a statement of worth and ability, according to 1 Timothy 2:11-14. It's 1 Timothy 2:11-14. We see as well biblical submission is a woman's natural disposition. It is the way that God has designed them to be. Found in 1 Corinthians 11:13-15. Women, the society around you will teach you that you are liberated, that you will be able to become the best you can be when you have cast off any ideas of authority in your life. The scriptures bear out, as well as many of us in our lives can testify to the reality that when we are doing what God has created us to do, that is the time in which we are happiest and most liberated. And women, God has designed you to function best under the headship of your husband. That is how you have been designed. God has not designed the buck to stop with you. That should be a great comfort, a great freedom for you. It's a great responsibility upon man that he has to lead his family properly before God. The woman answers to God in the next life for how she submits to her husband. The husband answers to God in the next life for how he's led his family. Men, we have a much greater responsibility. Women, you have the privilege and the opportunity to follow your husband, to submit to him. And that's what you'll answer to God for, is how well you have submitted yourself to your husband. Biblical submission, principle 5, is a woman's greatest testimony of truth. Going back to 1 Peter 3:1-4, the ability or opportunity that the woman takes to submit herself to her husband, even as it says there, an unsaved husband in 1 Peter 3, is the greatest opportunity of testimony that a woman has to the truth of God's word. And then the final principle that I'll cover this morning is found in Genesis 3:6-17, and that is this. Failure to observe proper headship has devastating consequences. Genesis chapter 3 shows where Eve takes of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam, after seeing his wife partake of this fruit, she says, "Here, take and eat," and he submitted himself to his wife's headship. He gave up his headship and submitted himself to her. And when he did so, the entire human race was condemned to sin. You say, is it really all of that? Read Genesis 3:17. Yes, it is all of that. Sin nature came into man through Adam, not through Eve. It was Adam's rebellious choice that brought sin upon this world. It was not Eve's choice. She was accountable to her husband. Adam was accountable to God. It was Adam's choice that caused man to fall. It was Adam's choice that condemned the human race to sin and to hell. And when God was giving them their consequences, God said, "I am giving you this consequence because you listened to your wife instead of exercising proper headship in the home." Paraphrase. Those are the principles of headship, of submission found in Scripture. If you would like those again, you can listen to the sermon. It'll be online or certainly come up afterwards, and I can give you those. That was our first point. Let's move on to our second point quickly as we close this morning. First point was this: a wife's submission to her husband demonstrates her submission to God. Second point this morning: a wife's submission to her husband is a testimony to the church of their expected submission to Christ. We'll be talking about this a lot over the next 3 weeks. Look with me again in verses 23 and 24. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The manner in which a woman submits herself to her husband is a reflection of the submission with which the church is expected to have toward Christ. And so that begs the question, and we're going to talk about this for an extended time in 2 weeks, what kind of submission is the church expected to have toward Christ? Earlier in Ephesians, we learned that we are members of the body known as the body of Christ. Quite literally, Christ is our head. That's where this term of headship came from. Christ is the head, we are his body, just as the man is the head and the woman his body. The implication is that the purpose of the body is to fulfill the will of the head and to follow the leadership of its head in every situation. My body is following the impulses that my brain is telling it to follow as my arms go up and down. It is doing what it's doing because my head is telling it to do. I'm thinking I want my arm to rise, and my arm is complying with that. The muscles are contracting in order that my arm will go up and down because there's impulses from the brain telling it to do so. Central nervous system, all of those things. That is the relationship that the church is supposed to have to Christ. And folks, as we read here, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. That is the relationship that the wife is supposed to have to her husband. She is supposed to be his body. She is supposed to reflect his will. She is supposed to do. She is supposed to conform herself to his expectations in the family. Now in marriage we see this as an imperfect picture because husbands are imperfect beings. And as we've said, so the wife's extent of submission only goes so far as it does not contradict the commands of God. But Jesus Christ, in regard to the church, is God. This rules out any contingency whereby we would not or refuse to submit to him. And so ladies, you see what this means. Your submission to your husband, the way in which you act toward him, the disposition which you carry toward him, is in fact, according to these verses, an opportunity for you to show the church how we as a body of believers should react toward Christ. It's an opportunity for you to be a testimony to this church of how we ought to submit to Christ. So when the church as a whole sees ladies, young or old, who are obedient to their husbands, who serve as proper helpmeets, who demonstrate biblical submission through what they wear, through what they say, through what they don't say, they're careful not to get close to the boundaries of resisting submission. When the church sees these things, they are taught how to properly submit themselves as a body to Christ. Interesting. What a responsibility. What an opportunity. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit in order to teach the church submission. The church can see submission in the ways wives react and act toward their husbands. The church can see it. And the church can know then their expectation toward Christ. With that established, allow me to propose a couple of connections here. Could it be that the lack of submission the church is showing to Christ in society today is a reflection of the lack of submission that Christian women are showing in their homes and in the church? Could it be that the feminism movement has gotten so deeply entrenched in our minds and in the church that the church has lost its bearings in part because women have lost their determination to submit themselves to their husbands? Could it be that Christian culture has been inundated more than we think with the thoughts of the world to the extent where even in the nuances we have lost this reflection of submission? Because wives have sought empowerment over-submission in their own lives? Could it be that really the ramifications are that heavy upon the woman's duty and role in the home? I think it could be. Because I think we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, the reality that women are supposed to submit themselves as the church is supposed to submit itself. I think we see in 1 Peter chapter 3 that women are, without speaking, able to be a testimony to the Word of God. I think women have underestimated their power of testimony over these years. And it's something that the women in this church should not take for granted. That the wives in this church should not overlook. That submission to your husband does, in fact, play a part in the church's ability to recognize and understand proper submission to Christ. That's a great responsibility. It seems as though Satan may have found a back door into the church by deceiving women into stripping themselves of their feminine distinctions, of their privilege and opportunity of submission. And it's something that I believe we as Christians need to claim back from our culture. Not trying to change the culture around us, trying to change the culture within us. One last admonition before we close this morning. One last question, bringing it outside the wives a little bit here. Church, are we submissive to Christ? You know, there are commands that you know you should obey, but perhaps you refuse to do so. There are expectations that you ought to be submissive to God concerning, but perhaps you are not. Is this church, in every aspect of its operation, properly submitted to the will of our head? Husbands, as I've been preaching today, perhaps you've been thinking of ways in which your wife could shore some things up. That's human nature. I hope you've been rejecting those thoughts, because next week is your turn. But perhaps you have been. Let's turn it around for a moment. All those things that may have flashed into your head, all those submissive points of problem. We are the leaders of this church, are we not? It's not just me. The men in this church lead this church in the way that they should go. How are we as men reflecting those same points of submission before Christ? The way we would expect our wives to honor us, to be on the same page as us, not to contradict us, but to help us as we are fulfilling our vision for our families. The way in which they'd ask them to be a helpmeet for us, to take our goals and our desires and to see them lived out in our children, in our lives, in our families, in our homes. How is this church doing at reflecting those principles from Christ our head? See, man, we can learn something as well. These are questions that we should be asking weekly as we come together as a body of believers. And they are questions which the ladies in the church can help us answer as they live out proper biblical submission in every aspect of their lives to their own husbands as unto the Lord. You know, when I worked at that Rockwell in Florida, I had the opportunity to exercise biblical submission by reflecting well upon that teacher, by carrying out in such a way that I am reflecting upon him honor. I was not only doing my best to honor him and to make him successful, but I was honoring those that had put me in that position. By fullest extension, I was honoring God, because whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we should do it to the glory of God. Sure, the people in the class didn't know that I was a better climber than that teacher. They never found out unless they came in after hours and saw me climbing. They didn't know that I was actually the one who taught him how to tie his knots, who taught him all of those safety things that now he's teaching to them. They didn't know those things, and by the reality that they didn't know them, the only thing that hurt was my pride. That is the only thing that was hurt by me not telling them I taught this guy. Everything else was helped. Helped them, the students, learn better, because they respected their teacher. It helped the teacher teach better because he didn't feel like he had someone standing over his shoulder the whole time. It helped my administrators make easier decisions because they didn't have to worry about the assistant subverting their delegated teacher all the time. The only thing that it hurt was my pride, because nobody knew that I was better than him. And you know what? That's okay. It's okay for our pride to be hurt, because it doesn't need to be there in the first place. Wives, when you submit to your husband as unto the Lord, what do you lose? Your pride in being right, maybe? The opportunity to show him that maybe he doesn't have all the answers. That feeling of empowerment, that in fact, I'm pretty capable home manager here, which, by the way, Proverbs 31 tells you you should be. But what do you gain when you submit? You gain the privilege of honoring your husband. By extension, you gain the privilege of honoring God who put him in that place of authority. You gain the privilege of serving. Say that's privilege, yes. Because you're not just serving your husband, you're not just serving God, but you're serving the church. You have the privilege of being a living example to the church of how we should be submissive to Christ. So ladies, may I just exhort you, wives to be, on this topic of submission. Submission is not a chauvinistic blight upon our society. It is a reflection of a proper society. Submission does not make you a second-class citizen. It in fact elevates you to a position of worth and distinction. Submission is an honor which is given to the woman by God's design, and wives are designed to be exemplary through their ability to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. Let's pray.